And I thank the Lord for Pastor Owens and his. When I went to Hiles Anderson College, I had never heard Dr. Hiles preach in person. I had never been to a youth conference. I had never been to a pastor school. Nothing. I went to Hiles Anderson to learn to be a better soul winner, and soul winning changed my life. And when I got there, the Lord worked it out so that I got to be under Dr. Owens while I was there. We reached teenagers in the Bible Club ministry, going to cities. And he asked an interesting question. I have a purpose in telling you this. He said, how many of you, I remember one time he said, Pastor Owens was with us in a meeting, and he said, how many of you, if Dr. Hiles was in a plane crash and was no longer at the college, how many of you would leave? And I remember several shot their hands up. And there was 16, I think there was 16 of us in the room at the time. And I remember Pastor Owens took out a piece of paper and he said, okay. He said, just wondering. And then he went on with the meeting. And I remember I sat there, and I'd been there 2 years. And I thought, I love Dr. Hiles' preaching. I didn't know Dr. Hiles. And to me, if I wouldn't have left if something would have happened to Dr. Hiles. And I said that all that to say, to me, my college experience was Dr. Owens. And he became a friend to me, and he helped me. And that doesn't mean anything I do that's bad is his fault. It just means if I do something good, I probably learned it from him. But I thank the Lord for his influence. And I may have shared this before, but when he started spending time with me and investing in me, he said, let's look at your closet. And so we went to my room. I opened up my closet door, and he showed me how to organize my clothes. Now, I was fresh out of the Marine Corps, so I had everything facing one way, right? But nothing matched. And he took me shopping. He said, let me show you where I buy ties for $5. And he took me down to his favorite thrift stores. And it was just things like that that he personally invested in me. And so I thank the Lord through the years. We were talking on the phone last year, and he made a statement. He said, you know, he said, we've known each other so long. He said, we're closer than family. And I said, yes, sir. And I'm thankful for that. I'm so glad you get to hear him preach. I think, and I don't, in getting to work with him for 10 years as his assistant pastor, I've never seen someone love people and help people like he does. I think, in my opinion, he has influenced me, and he is one of the, he's, to me, the greatest pastor I've ever known. And I love watching him work with people. I love hearing it, and he's taught me a lot. And thank you, Pastor Owens, for being here. Thank you, Mrs. Owens, preacher.
Thank you very much. Amen. And, Brother Nash, tomorrow, if I could, I'd like to come by and look at your closet.
Oh, no.
Well, man, you set me up perfect for that. Well, thank you all for coming tonight. I'm sure glad Mrs. Owens gets to travel with me. We have a new grandbaby. And, boy, when that new grandbaby got here, she stopped traveling with me, and she stays home. She loves that grandbaby more than me, and so... Well, I'm glad you're here tonight. Let me say a couple of things real quick before we get started on the sermon. Thank you, Brother Nash. Thank you for letting me come. I am super protective in regard to my pulpit. I think it's a great responsibility who comes to my church and preaches. And I think Brother Nash feels the same way. But thank you for letting me come. Brother Garland, I think tonight will be my 36th sermon that I've preached here, and not all of them while you were here,
right.
I sure am honored. Here's the great thing, Brother Garland heard all 36, but he can't remember the ones that I preached. So if I preach one again, he'll never know. We have our newest book. It's been out, I guess, 18 months, 2 years, but we've got a new book at the table. It's called God's Perspective on Man's Emotions. And I just believe America is way too emotional. I'm not against emotions, but I'm against emotions controlling us. And America is so emotional. And I think the book would help you.
Amen.
Also, I have an online college. It's called Practical Bible Baptist College. And it is exactly that. It's very practical. We don't try to trick people in our testing or anything like that. But let me say, right before I left, my vice president of the college, his name is Dr. Rick Young, he handed me some, he calls them coupons. And what it is, if you would like a free class on our online college, if you come to the table, I'll hand you a free class card. On the back, it tells you step by step how to take the class. And there's a little code that you enter. Doesn't cost you a thing. The only thing you have to do for me is you write your name, preferably so I can read it. And then you give me your email address, and then that will help us to contact you. But if you want one of these, just come see me. I'll give you a free college class. And there's all sorts of things, classes for ladies, classes for men. My music director is Brother Chris Edwards. Brother Edwards is a very, very capable musician, and he teaches a lot. I teach a lot. Mrs. Owens teaches. There's a plethora of people that teach. But if you want a free class, come see me. Don't let the word college intimidate you. You say, I've been out of school so long, the word college, I'm not even sure how to spell it. You don't have to know how to spell it. You'll find that this stuff is very down to earth. Then, the last thing I want to tell you before I get started, Brother Nash, our church will take an offering for your radio station. Now, I'm not going to do it immediately because I'm in a money-raising project right now. You get too many money-raising projects going at one time. You can't fleece the sheep as well that way. And so, but you give it a little time where I can poke it in there in that right spot. I believe in your pastor. I believe in this ministry. I believe this area needs this church. I really, really believe that. And so, well, thank you for being here tonight. I want you to get your Bible out, if you would, and turn to Genesis chapter number 26. Genesis 26, Brother Doggett, that's the very first book of the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 26. When you find Genesis 26, find verse number 15. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to read a little handful of verses. I'll read them out loud. You can follow along silently. Would you do me a favor? Would you stand with me? Custom at our church is we stand when we read the Bible. One, we do that out of respect. Two, it gives you a chance to stand for a while because you're about to be seated. This sermon takes me 3 hours to preach. Okay, that was a joke. Okay, here we go. Genesis chapter 26, look at verse 15. It says, "For all the wells which his father's servant had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines, had stopped them and filled them with earth." Now go down to verse 18. "And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servant digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' And he called the name of the well Esek, and because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitan. And he removed from thence and digged another well." I think you probably noticed it over and over again. They were digging, and I want to talk about that for a little while. I don't know for sure what I call this sermon right now. Tonight, I'm going to call it Keep Digging. Just keep digging. Let me pray for us and I'll explain it. Father, tonight we need to hear from heaven. We don't need entertainment. We really need something that will challenge us and move us and cause us to keep serving you, keep doing the right thing. So, Holy Spirit of God, help me to encourage us all. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will maybe help someone to start moving again. Maybe somebody needs to move a little quicker. Maybe somebody needs to move in the right direction. I don't know. But tonight, help us that we leave here tonight knowing that we met with you. And God, I surely want Pastor Nash to be pleased, and I want these people to be pleased. But ultimately, I want you to be pleased with what I say, what we hear, and then what we do about it. Please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can have a seat there. When I was in high school, I played a little bit of football. And I can remember my coach, I think one of his favorite words was dig. Boy, we would be out there on the field and the coach would be yelling, dig, dig, dig. And that meant dig in, run hard, push hard. I'm not even sure he knew any other words. Dig, dig, dig. If he couldn't think of what to say, he'd just start yelling, dig. And we all knew what that meant. Keep moving forward. The story that we just read takes place in a valley. Many years prior, in this valley, the servants of Abraham had dug some wells. And it was a time of need, and of course, they needed those wells. The Philistines came along, the enemy, and filled up those wells with dirt so they would dry up. Listen to Genesis 26:15. It says, "For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines, had stopped them and filled them with earth." Isaac is now living in the land that this valley is located in. And God is blessing him and blessing him greatly. Again, Genesis 26:12, it says, "Then Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him." Isaac's servants began digging in the valley and opening up the wells that had been filled with dirt. And they just keep digging. And they keep digging. In Genesis 26, verse number 19, it says, "And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water." They were digging. They were using a shovel, much like this one. And they were digging and digging. You might be sitting in a dangerous spot. And they were digging. And so, you know, sometimes we read the Bible and we lose track of the reality of it. And so some wells had been dug. The enemy comes along and fills the wells with dirt. And God's people come along and say, we're going to redig them. We're going to redig them. We're going to redig them. And they're digging along. And thank the Lord, they find a spring of water. Isaac was actually living in that valley. Verse 17, it says, "And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley." So Isaac lives in the valley. And the valley, remember this, if you will, there's a spiritual parallel here. The valley of life is the opposite of the mountaintop. The valley pictures the tough times. The valley pictures maybe the down times. The valley may picture the burden times. Now they kept moving in that valley. They kept digging and they found that spring of water. Now let me tell you something, folks. There are blessings out there, but you're going to have to keep on moving if you're going to find them. Most blessings in life are not coming to look for you. You're going to find them on the pathway of life. They kept moving forward in this valley. They kept digging in the valley. That well that they found, it was a blessing, but it was the result of they kept digging. Let me tell you something. Everybody here, as long as you're alive, keep digging in life. Keep digging. Keep moving forward. Keep trying to make something happen. See, that that well there that they found, it meant strength to their weary souls. But they had to keep moving forward and digging to get what they needed. That well that they find by digging, that well meant refreshment. But they had to keep moving forward and keep digging. That well meant life. We know they needed the water to be alive. That well meant life. But they had to keep digging to get that life. The well meant encouragement, but they had to keep digging. The well meant satisfaction, but they had to keep digging. You see, actually, it was not just one well, it was many wells. But understand, they are moving forward, not on the mountain, in the valley. And while they're in the valley, they're working at it. They're working at it. They're working at it. They're working at it. Let me tell you a concept of life. When things aren't going well, keep digging.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. If you have a business and things aren't going well, now's not the time to pout.
Right.
So what do? Dig in! Yes. Dig! 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 Make that business go.
Yes, sir.
When things are not going well, you just got to keep digging.
Yes.
I talk to pastors all the time. I had a pastor call me the other day and he said this to me. He said, Brother Owens, he said, I feel like I want to retire. Now, truth is, I don't think he's ready to retire. But he said, Brother Owens, I want to retire. Things at the church are down. The attendance is down. The offerings are down. Everything's down. He said, Brother Owens, would you help me find someone to come pastor my church? I think I'm ready to retire. I said, I sure will. I'll be preaching for him here in just a few weeks. He said, well, what do you think I ought to do to get ready? I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get your Sunday school attendance up. I want you to get your bus ministry up. And that's because if somebody's going to take your church over, we want to get it up. So don't turn it over to them weak. I said, I want you to get the offerings up. I want you to get the Sunday morning service crowd up. I want you to get the Sunday night attendance up. I want you to get that Wednesday night attendance up. And then once we've got that thing up, then let's find someone to pastor it. And let me tell you what's going to happen, Brother Nash. Once it's all up, he's not going to want to retire. You know what he needs to do right now? Dig!
Amen.
Dig! Dig!
Yes.
Some of you that have been around a while, dig. You know what it takes. See, the mountaintops of life are not the only place of blessing. Everybody wants a mountaintop. But did you know for every mountaintop there are two valleys? I mean, just do the math.
Yes, sir.
You can't live on the mountaintop all the time. Finances will not always be good. Health will not always be good. Relationships will not always be good. Work situations will not always be good. Marriages will not always be good. Mother-in-laws will never be good. No, I'm sorry, that's not in my notes. Hey, there are blessings in the valley of life, but you must keep moving forward. And believe it or not, digging in the valley is the way to get back on the mountaintop.
Amen.
Don't just endure the valley. Dig in the valley.
Amen.
Don't just survive the valley. Dig in the valley. Don't just tolerate the valley of life. Dig in the valley. There are blessings in the valley that you may never get on the mountaintop. You know, all these wells that they were finding and the spring, it was in the valley. It was right there in the valley. We sometimes think, okay, God doesn't want us in the valley. What makes you think that? I mean, we get this idea, well, God always wants us on the mountaintop. I'm very sorry. I don't see where that's in the Scripture. I think there are times when God wants us in the valley. Not because He hates us. God loves us. He always loves us. But He knows something, folks? There's something that you can get in the valley that you can't get on the mountaintop. And I will guarantee you that. And I don't want to get ahead of myself with the sermon, but let me tell you something. It's in my valleys where God has come to me
and done some very deep things inside me. And I wouldn't give up some of my valleys. Now, I don't like pain, especially my own. Now, pain, if it's yours, I'm good with it. But my pain, I don't like pain. But I'm telling you, I wouldn't want to give up the lessons that I have learned in the valley for anything. Now, let me, if I may, I want to talk about this and explain it a little more. First of all, keep moving forward in the valley and you'll get closer to God. You'll get closer to God. Listen to Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. Listen to Psalm 23, verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. In the valley. He said, in the valley.
Yes.
Thou art with me. You know, in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 1, it says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley.
Yes.
The valley. You said, I went on the mountaintop to meet God. Well, if you didn't find him there, he might have been waiting for you in the valley because he's the lily of the valley. He said, I was walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and guess who was there? God was there. Hey, those of you that have lost a loved one, did God come to you in the valley in a special way? Oh, yeah. I don't wish the valley on anyone, but folks, if I were you, I wouldn't avoid every valley. Sometimes you need to go through the valley.
Yes, sir.
It's often in the valley where we meet God in a special way. What are we talking about? They were digging. They were digging in the valley. Let me tell you, if hardship, if the valley comes to you, get your shovel out. Keep digging in the Bible. Keep digging in your prayer life. Keep digging as you're searching for God. Move forward in the valley. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to find God in the valley. I wonder how many people are in my church today because they were in a valley. We came along and got to influence them in the valley. And while they were in the valley, they got saved. While they were in the valley, they got associated with the church. And as a result of it, their marriage was salvaged. Their child was salvaged. Their business was salvaged. But you know what brought God to them and them to God? It wasn't a mountaintop. It was a valley. And in the valley, they said, I need you. And God said, I'm right here in the valley with you. You see, I'm convinced that valley experiences can get us closer to God. But then secondly, keep moving in the valley as to be more productive for Him. Just in case you didn't know it, you and I are to be productive for Jesus Christ. God did not save you so you could sit around and eat potato chips and marshmallows. And I'm not against potato chips, and I'm not against marshmallows. But God saved us to serve. God saved us to use us.
Yes.
I'm a firm believer in this. If you're still alive, God still wants to use you. And one of the greatest ways God could use you is to help somebody. God could use you to keep somebody else out of hell because you tell them about Jesus. But listen, in the valley, if you keep digging, you can be productive. Listen to 1 Samuel 6:13, and this is a scripture reference. In the days of Samuel, it says, and they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. What was happening? They were in the valley, and they were reaping. In the valley, and they were reaping. They were in the valley, digging, and they were reaping. Here's what happened. The Ark of the Covenant had been stolen. It was a very sad time. It's being returned, and they're rejoicing. But notice, they were reaping in the valley. They were still going forward when the Ark of the Covenant was out of reach. They were in a valley, but they were still reaping in the valley. You know, I think we need to learn how to keep being productive when we're in a valley. You want to have a happier home? And you're going to feel like I'm meddling now. You want to have a happy home? When you get hit with something at home. When your heart gets broken at home. Keep cleaning your house. Amen. Keep digging. When you get hit, something comes on you. You say, I've got a burden. Hey, keep digging and you keep paying the bills. And you keep going to work. And you keep doing the right thing. Look, folks, if some burden hits you and you decide to start laying around moping and entertaining depression, do you think you're really helping yourself? Say, what do you think I ought to do? Get up!
Amen.
And do what? Dig! 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 Listen, I counsel people by the thousands. My counseling is not usually very complicated. A lot of times I need to tell people, you need to stop thinking about that.
Amen.
And I hand them a shovel and say, get busy.
Amen.
Can I tell you something about getting busy? If you're depressed, get busy.
Amen.
You say, why? For a little while, you'll forget about that which you're depressed.
Amen.
And now, you may go back to it, and your depression will find you again. But you had a reprieve.
Amen.
So what I'm telling you is keep moving forward in the valley because you can be productive for Him. There are sometimes people are more productive in the valley. Did you know that David defeated Goliath in the valley? See, since we know it was God's will that David defeat Goliath, thank God that David didn't say, I can't beat this guy in the valley. No. God gave him supernatural power in the valley.
Amen.
I was thinking about my pastor many years ago. He had been attacked, I mean viciously attacked, and people had come after him and did everything they could to destroy him. You know what he decided to do right in the middle of he was under a national attack. Right in the middle of a national attack, everybody was against him. It seemed like everybody was tromping him, spitting on him, and being nasty to him. He said, hey, let's try to reproduce a Pentecost Sunday. Let's try to have 3,000 people saved in one Sunday. We're right in the middle of a battle. We're right in the middle of a mess. And you want to go get a bunch of people saved. You know what happened? Everybody rallied to the cause. There were over 3,000 people saved in one Sunday. What had happened? He started handing out shovels. He said, let's go.
Amen.
Let's stop walking around the church depressed, saying, oh, it's so bad. He said, let's go dig some wells.
Amen.
It was incredible. I think there are times when we can be more productive in the valley. Sometimes the valleys or the burdens, I don't always respond to them properly. I can remember when I was growing up, it's a funny thing. When I was growing up, we had push mowers everywhere. And we had about 4 acres that we had to mow. And me and my brothers, it was our job. You no sooner got finished mowing, it was time to start mowing again on the other end. The grass had all grown. And you know what my dad did? The day the last of us boys graduated from high school, he went out and bought a riding mower. Why didn't he get a riding mower many years ago? I thought he loved us. Slave labor, man. And then we heated our house with wood. You know, we cut wood. Now, there was a furnace there. We didn't know it worked. He never told us because he wanted to heat the house with kid power. But I can remember one day, my dad, we had gotten into trouble for something. And believe me, I was in the valley. And I wasn't very happy about it. So I went out to cut wood. Brother Doggett, can I tell you something? You can cut a whole lot more wood when you're mad. You don't cut wood as fast when you're happy. I was in the valley, but man, was I productive. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. Sometimes in the valley, we can dig with energy that we may not have when it's pleasant. So I believe that what we need to do is to make sure that in the valley we get closer to God. Remember, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. I believe in the valley we can become more productive for Him. Push forward. Keep moving. I'm going to tell you a story about a man. I won't use his name. I wouldn't want to embarrass him. He was one of my deacons for years. And what a great man. He was special forces when he was in the military. He had multiple sclerosis. And his body, when he would go to bed at night, his body would ball up his muscles, and he would actually lie in the night in the fetal position. And I'm talking about a powerful, powerful man. The MS took over his body. And this is what he would do. Sunday morning would roll around, and he knew he wanted to come to church. And he would slowly watch his body unfold from the retraction of his muscles. And he said, I would take my arms and I would push my legs down, and I would tell myself, I'm going to church. I'm going to church. He had a wife and a handful of kids. They had a van that they toted the kids around in. And he told me this. He said, Pastor, I want you to know I try to come every Sunday morning. Mornings were hardest on him. He said, I try to come every Sunday morning. He said, I would get myself to where I could roll my body out of the bed. He said, sometimes my stomach, I'd be laying on the bed and I'd have my legs on the floor. He said, and then there were times when I would just do what I could. I knocked the shovel off. He said, I would crawl. He said, sometimes I would actually grab the carpet and pull my body along. He said, it would be getting closer and closer for time for my wife and my kids to head to church to be on time. He said, in many days, I will have crawled all the way to the front door. I'd look up at my wife and say, I can't today. You take the kids and you go on. He said, and I'm going to do it next Sunday again. And if I have to, I'm going to do it the next Sunday again. He said, I'm going to get as close to that front door as I can get. But I'm not going to lay there and feel sorry for myself. I'm not going to give up. I'll do what I can. I'll push what I can. And I thought, dig, dig, dig. He said, well, what good was that? His kids were watching every moment that he crawled. His wife was watching a man that had backbone. People were saying, what? That's incredible. And you know what? Your nose can run a little bit and you won't show up on Sunday morning. You need a little shovel training. We've got a lazy generation. We've got an anemic generation. We've got a generation that's got their tail between their legs. They're afraid to stand up to themselves. Hey, listen. Keep digging. Amen. Keep digging. Keep moving forward. Let me tell you this also. And the third point of my outline is keep moving forward. Keep digging in the valley so you don't fall behind. This is just a little practical application here. When hard time comes, you do not have to fall behind. You say, but my heart's broken. So work while your heart's broken. You say, you have no compassion. I have more compassion than what you think. You know what happens if all you do is lick your wounds? You get a sticky tongue. Keep moving. Amen. I promise you. Keep moving. Keep digging. It may be harder to achieve in the valley, but you can still achieve. It may be harder to produce in the valley, but you can keep producing. It may be harder to go forward in the valley, but keep going forward. Hey, don't just suffer in the valley. Keep digging in the valley. Don't let your broken heart break your schedule. I have a sign that hangs in my office and it says, don't despair. But if you do, work on in despair. You say, I'm panicked. Work on while you're panicked. Say, I'm depressed. Work on while you're depressed. Don't let your broken heart break your entire life. Don't let your pain stop you from doing what needs to be done. Hey, moving forward in the valley will keep your body and your mind busy. This whole story. I love this story. They had a bunch of wells. They were dug in the valley. The enemy came by and filled them. And you all know, the devil comes by and he starts throwing dirt in our wells. He's got a way of doing it. Now, if we want, we can say, oh, look at my well. And if, hey, and you could probably find someone that will come by and cry with you. You could have two people crying at the well. You could even go on, you could go on social media and get a whole group of people that will cry at the well with you. Well, I'm not planning on crying at the well. You say, what are you doing? I'm digging. Well, why would I want to stare at my well? Cry at the well. Keep moving because you don't want to get left behind. In business, let me tell you something. If business is going tough, there's some people that say, oh, it's so tough right now. There are other people out there saying, how are we going to get this business up? What can we add to this? What needs to happen to help us get over this hump? Keep digging. Not only that. And number four, keep moving in the valley because, I hate to tell you this, but there's another valley out there. Listen to 1 Kings 20:28. It says, and there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not the God of the valleys. I want you to, the word I want you to see there, it says valleys, plural, more than one. Life has many valleys. Those of you that are children, learn to keep going in the valley. And you know children have valleys. Their valley might not be exactly like yours, adult, but to them, it is as big to them at their age as yours is to you. But children, listen to Brother Owens. You keep moving in the valley. You keep digging in the valley. You say, why, Brother Owens? Because you'll be a teenager someday. And then you're going to face some teenage valleys. Teenager, you better learn how to dig in the valley. You say, why? You're going to be a young adult someday. And you're going to face valleys. You say, Brother Owens, do you ever grow out of them? I don't think so. We're going to have valleys all the way to heaven. You say, well, one day we'll be a young married couple and all of our problems will be over. I hate to tell you. You ever heard that? I don't know who dreamed that thing up. It's cheaper for two to live than one. Man, that's a lie out of hell. That's not true. It's not cheaper for two to live than one. We know that. Say, well, I can't wait until I'm a senior citizen and all the burdens of life are behind me. Oh, my goodness. Doesn't work that way. So in the valley, we've got to keep digging no matter what age level you're at because there's more valleys. I wish, you know, I think when America was rural, it might be that our children got a little more what I would call valley training. Learn how to do the tough thing. You know, did you know that if you have milk cows, you don't get a week off? You milk them every day. And you gotta gather the eggs. And when it's time to water the livestock, you water the livestock. That's just the way it is. But every valley you face is valley training for another valley. You say, well, I'm about to crack up. Listen, if you'll get the valley training during this valley, you're less apt to crack up when you face the next one. You say, why? You're fortified. You're strengthened. Amen. You learned something. You've got some rank. You're not a private anymore. You've got some rank when it comes to digging in the valley. They were digging in the valley. I've seen, if you were all listening, when we read that passage of Scripture at the beginning of this sermon, I think they use the word dig eight times It is not an accident that word dig is in there 8 times in about 6 or 7 verses. I think God put it in there just for me for this sermon. He knew I would like that. He knew I'd like getting this shovel up here and swing it around and make noise with it. So, here's what I've said. You keep moving in the valley because you'll find God in the valley. You'll get closer to Him. You keep moving in the valley because you can be more productive in the valley. You keep moving in the valley. Keep digging. So you don't fall behind. You don't have to fall behind. Because if you fall behind, you're going to make everything even worse. You keep digging in the valley because there'll be another valley that you'll face in the future. And then this, number 5. Keep digging in the valley, maybe in such a way that others might admire or respect how you handle yourself in the valley. Unless you took a moment to really study it, you would miss this. In Genesis 26:20, it says, "And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, 'The water is ours.'" Here's what's happening. People are watching the folks that were digging in the valley. They're watching and saying, We want that well. We want that water. Now, had they not been digging in the valley, they wouldn't have found the water source. And if they wouldn't have found the water source, people wouldn't be wanting what they have. The lost, that they ought to want what you and I have. Can I tell you something? Lost people ought to look at you and I when we're going through the valley and say, boy, do they handle their heartaches and burdens differently than we do. They ought to admire the way we handle it. Can I tell y'all something? The church needs to stop freaking out about everything that happens in our country. Say, but it's getting worse. Haven't we been told it was going to get worse? You say, I can't believe it. It waxes worse and worse. Right? God said that was going to happen. Now, why did God tell us that was going to happen? So we're not freaking out. Why? The lost ought to look at you and me and say, they got it together. I wonder how they have it together. Well, God helps me hold it together. They ought to look at you and I and say, there is those people are peculiar. Amen. So, you know, peculiar does not mean weird. Well, in your case it does. But peculiar? Ah, that's unique. Yes. Spiritually special.
Yes.
The herdsmen of Gerar, they wanted that blessing. Let's live in the valley in such a way that the lost want what we have. Christians are to behave different. Folks, let me tell you something. We need to keep digging in the valley. Hey, don't become backslidden in the valley. Don't become bitter in the valley. Don't become angry in the valley. Don't become useless in the valley. Don't become cynical in the valley. Don't become critical in the valley. Hey, don't become hateful in the valley. Don't become vengeful in the valley. There's less productivity in all that. If you use up all your energy with all your emotional hatefulness and everything, how are you going to have energy to move forward? I mean, don't you want your marriage to move forward? Don't you want your family to move forward? Don't you want your church to move forward? Hey, let's move forward and dig in the valley with a good attitude. Brother Nash, when I was a 16-year-old boy, a man came to work at our church. His name was Mike. And I had never seen an assistant pastor before. I knew of a pastor, but they said, this is an assistant pastor. I thought, whoa, what does that mean? Wow. He was the first assistant pastor I had ever seen. And he looked just like the rest of us. But he went to work at our church. And I remember the pastor and this new guy, Mike, the assistant pastor, they were talking with some of the men, and pastor said, you know, we need to dig a ditch for a sewage pipe between the church and the mobile home, and we've got to get that dug, but it costs so much, it's going to take a couple months for us to raise the money to have that ditch dug. They all walked away. Nobody thought anything of it except for Mike, the new assistant pastor. And he said to me, he said, do you know how to dig? I said, yeah, I do. He said, could you come out here tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.? I said, what are we going to do at 6 a.m.? He said, you just come tomorrow at 6. We're going to help the pastor. So I thought the next morning the pastor would be there. It was me and Mike, 6 a.m. He threw me a pair of gloves and a shovel. He said, we are going to dig this ditch. I said, how much of it? He said, all of it. I'd never seen a man dig a hole so happily in my life. He's out there singing and digging. All for a sewage pipe. He was happy about a sewage hole. Boy, did I learn something from him. The pastor was not on the property that whole day. Like 12 hours later, my hands are raw. He's singing. I'm going, shut up, man. Just dig. He's over there digging, just having a good old time. Boy, was the pastor surprised. I learned, if you just keep digging, and you keep digging, and you keep digging, hey, you know, you can dig past whatever the problem is. But he even dug with a great attitude. You ever met somebody? All right, I'm going to go through this, but I'm not going to like it. Listen, we have a Holy Spirit that lives in us. We can even do the hard thing and like it.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I'm sure there is a better way of saying what I'm saying. But let me say to everybody here, you have a spiritual shovel. Keep digging. Every church in America needs to keep digging. COVID hit. The devil came along, threw dirt in our wells.
Yes, sir.
You know what a bunch of people have been doing? They've been standing out there saying, I remember I used to be a well. That devil, I sure don't like him. Others grabbed a shovel and said, I'm digging it out.
Amen.
And those are the churches that are going forward now. A lot of them, they buried themselves.
Yes, sir.
Their church is dead. You know, there are churches all over America that closed.
Yes, sir.
The devil threw some dirt in their well. They didn't do anything about it. Hey, it's an honor to have the devil throwing dirt at you.
Amen.
It means he's trying to stop you.
Amen.
Do you know that Jesus got put in a grave? You know what he did? He dug himself out. Up from the grave he arose. You look at the story sometime. It's time for the resurrection. Someone said, that's an earthquake. You feel that earthquake? You say, what was it? It's Jesus. Man, he was throwing dirt. He was shaking the earth. Because he was digging in the valley.
Just keep digging.
I'm a dumb country boy. There are so many things that I don't know. One thing I do know is I know how, when the world's crushing me, I know how to get up and go on anyway. And everybody's got to learn some of that. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Digging in the valley. Digging in the valley. Who here tonight would say, Brother Owens, boy, I can take that and I can use that in some area of my life. Maybe it's something for you spiritually. Maybe it's something with a business, a family member. I don't know. Maybe a ministry. I don't know what it is. But you say, I needed to be challenged to keep digging in the valley. And God has specifically pointed something out where this can be applied to my life tonight. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? God bless you. God bless you. You may put your hands down. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play.
I'm going to ask you if you'll stand to your feet with me. If you need a moment at the altar, you can come. Maybe you just need to come and say, Lord, give me the strength to dig while I'm in this valley. Digging in the valley.